The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And we'll start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the cover story headline, "The Rise of Regional Airports, How Businesses and Institutions Are Forcing Regional Airports Across the Triangle Region to Up Their Game." And the article begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline, "Small Airports Making a Big Impact. Regional airports across the Greater Triangle are playing a key role as markets beyond Raleigh and Durham make economic leaps." And this is written by Ben Tobin. North Carolina is coming up on the 120th anniversary of the Wright brothers' first flight in Kitty Hawk. It's a legacy in airplane innovation that makes Becca Jackson Gallus, the Director of Aviation for the North Carolina Department of Transportation, proud. Since 1913, North Carolina has fostered a major ecosystem of 62 public general aviation airports and 10 commercial airports, the latter consisting of behemoths like Charlotte Douglas and Raleigh-Durham International Airports. But the Massachusetts Institute of Technology graduate wants to clear up one misconception. The smaller general aviation airports, which tend to be embedded in more rural areas, serve a much larger purpose than solely giving airplane hobbyists a chance to take their aircraft for a whirl on the weekend. Rather, general aviation airports make up the backbone of the North Carolina economy, Gallus says. The numbers speak for themselves, Gallus and airport directors say. About 94% of North Carolina's population is located within 30 minutes of an airport. General aviation airports account for more than 28,000 jobs throughout the state and generate more than $285 million in state and local taxes, according to a North Carolina State of Aviation 2023 report. And they generate a whopping $6 billion in economic output throughout the state. As migration has exploded to the Research Triangle over the past decade, the need for strong airports in surrounding counties has proved crucial in landing big economic development projects, attracting tourists and large employers alike, and transporting goods and services around the state. But with population growth not slowing down anytime soon, regional airports are scrambling on infrastructure projects in the face of capacity constraints to ensure that the Greater Triangle region remains competitive for luring in new businesses. Raleigh Executive Jetport, located 35 miles southwest of RDU in Sanford, served as a meeting space for VinFast to talk with local officials before the Vietnamese car manufacturer decided to build a $4 billion plant in Chatham County. Moore County Airport takes thousands of golf enthusiasts to play and watch the sport at Pinehurst No. 2, the 2024 home of the U.S. Open. Johnston Regional Airport houses a Duke University hospital branch focused on trauma extraction. "Sometimes we forget about the port part of the word airport," says Daniel Finley, associate director of the Institute for Transportation Research and Education at NC State University, which compiled the State of Aviation report. "The Triangle General Aviation Airports have been really successful at bringing in and sending out goods and services to help serve their communities and those around them," he said. Triangle Business Journal spoke with five general aviation airports in the Greater Triangle: Raleigh Executive Jetport, Johnston Regional Airport, Moore County Airport, Burlington Alamance Regional Airport, and Triangle North Executive Airport. In the past year, the five airports cumulatively supported 3,370 jobs, brought in over $202 million in personal income, and generated more than $678 million in economic output. Here's how each airport helps spur economic development in the area. Raleigh Executive Jetport. The current Raleigh Executive Jetport at 700 Rod Sullivan Road in Sanford is one of the newer players to the general aviation airport space, opening in 2000 just before the nearby Sanford Lee County Brickfield Airport closed its doors. Bob Hutes, the director of the airport, has been around the airport since its inception, both at the helm for the past 7 years and as a member of the Sanford Airport Authority for the prior decade. When the new airport came online as the Sanford Lee County Regional Airport, it had 27 based airplanes, according to Hoots. Now the airport has 210 based aircraft, an exponential increase from 23 years ago. It's a rapid growth that parallels the city. In 2000, Sanford's population was around 23,500. Today, it is more than 31,000. Hutz credits the airport's growth with its location in the northern part of the city, closer to Chatham County, while its predecessor was located in the southeast part of the city. We're in a great position in that once you leave the airport and you get on U.S. Route 1, you will not encounter another stop sign or stop light until you get off the four lanes, Hutz says. Accessibility has helped us a lot. If this airport had been built south or east of town rather than north, there's no question that that would have impacted in a negative way. The story of the airport, like the town, is one of dramatic growth. In 2009, the airport changed its name from Sanford Lee County Regional Airport to Raleigh Executive Jetport, a move former Sanford Mayor Chet Mann says increased traffic by about 40% in a year due to name recognition. And in recent years, Hutz says the airport has completed infrastructure project after infrastructure project in order to accommodate growing needs. Taxiway construction and expansion, building of a larger corporate hangar and smaller T-hangars, the airport now has 115 opposed to 79 a decade ago, and connecting the airport to Sanford's public sewer system have all come in recent years. Naturally, with all of this infrastructure work, Raleigh Executive Jetport has quite a bit of employees and traffic in and out of the airport. Elite Aircraft Services, a company that trains pilots and manages aircrafts, has four hangars at the airport. Wings of Carolina Flying Club provides a flight school for over 500 members. And Caterpillar and Pfizer, which both have facilities in Sanford, regularly fly in and out. But potentially, most importantly, the airport played a role in attracting two major investments to the region in neighboring Chatham County, VinFast and Wolfspeed. Before VinFast, the Vietnamese electric vehicle manufacturer announced its $4 billion plant in Moncure, and chipmaker Wolfspeed announced its $5 billion plant in Siler City. Officials from both companies met with Michael Smith, director of the Chatham County Economic Development Corporation, and other local officials and leaders at the Raleigh Executive Jetport. The Raleigh Executive Jetport is a first-class airport and a wonderful front door to our region, Smith says. Their beautiful boardroom was the site of our first meetings with the two mega projects that chose Chatham, VinFast in December 2021 and Wolfspeed in January 2022. Johnston Regional Airport. Jumping from about 169,000 residents in 2010 to 216,000 in 2020, an increase of 27.8%, Johnston County was North Carolina's fastest-growing county of the last decade. As such, of all 62 general aviation airports in the state, Johnston Regional Airport, located in Smithfield, had the most landings and takeoffs through the first 7 months of 2023, with 62,230, according to data provided from Airport Director Phil Lanier. For context, the airports with the second and third largest number of takeoffs and landings through that period, Concord Paget Regional Airport near Charlotte and Raleigh Executive Jetport, had 52,206 and 47,218 takeoffs and landings, respectively. This statewide leadership in airport operations didn't come out of the blue. Between 2012 and 2020, the airport nearly doubled its economic output from around $62 million to $121 million and up to more than $200 million this year. In 2014, the airport opened a new $4 million terminal with meeting spaces and updated amenities, and it has received millions of dollars of investments from the likes of Flight School, Blue Line Aviation, and Aircraft Business Capital Aircraft LLC. According to Lanier, both population and business explosion and overflow from RDU have served as impetuses for the major growth, and the airport isn't looking at it slowing down. It's working on a midfield hangar development project. Lanier calls it the Promised Land that will include constructing 34 additional hangars targeting more businesses to come to the airport. We've had quite a few folks from the Triangle region that reached out to us to say, we'd like to operate our business at your airport, or we've got a need for storing our aircraft and there's no place at RDU, he says. One business working out of Johnston Regional Airport is Duke Flight, Life Flight, which was founded in 1985 as the first hospital-based emergency transport service in North Carolina. The group began starting an aircraft operation out of Johnston Regional Airport in 2008 and has 21 staff members working at the airport, according to Andrew Potter, Clinical Operations Supervisor of Duke Life. The business completes 12 flights per week out of Johnston Regional Airport, per Potter, who said the airport has proven tremendously important to our operations. The airport has allowed our paramedics and nurses to bring world-class care to the citizens of Johnston County and the region, he says. Moore County Airport. Anyone who has flown from out of state to play golf in North Carolina had a good shot of landing at Moore County Airport in Carthage. The Pinehurst Southern Pines and Aberdeen area, located in Moore County, calls itself the home of American golf. The area touts more than 40 golf courses in a 15-mile radius, including Pinehurst No. 2, the home of the 2024 U.S. Open Golf Championship. And when people fly in to play or watch golf, Moore County Airport is their first introduction to the region. The airport wears its golf reputation on its sleeve. It hosts one of the only airport putting greens in the world. Moore County Airport has been a gateway to the Sandhills for a long time, and as such has been a gateway to the cradle of American golf as well, says Eric Custer, the vice president for sales and marketing with Pinehurst Resort. Its impact when the Pinehurst area is hosting major championships is readily apparent, but the airport has always been a terrific and a most convenient option for many guests and corporate clients who have visited our area and resort over the years. The airport serves as a popular destination for the C-suite of major companies to come and hit 18 holes. Ron Maness, airport director for Moore County Airport, says that when Home Depot recently came to town, the company brought 8 Gulfstream airplanes used for executive travel and parked them at the airport for roughly a week. With all of these planes flying in and out of the area, fueling aircraft has become a big business at Moore County Airport. Maness said 70% of the airport's revenue came from fuel sales, and that for the previous fiscal year ending in June, they pumped 800,000 gallons of fuel. I manage a business selling fuel and renting hangars, Maness says. So every year, the Moore County Airport, as far as I can remember, I started 19 years ago, has been profitable. That means we're not costing the taxpayers a penny, and we work hard to keep that reality. Like its fellow Triangle Area airports, Moore County Airport has seen tremendous growth. Over the past decade, flights in and out have tripled from 8,000 to 24,000 annually. Fuel sales have doubled, and 34 new hangars have been constructed to bring the airport's total to 89. Maness says the growth of the surrounding area has contributed to the airport's expansion. And with Target and Ace Hardware planning to add massive stores in Moore County, the airport will continue to see more traffic. Per Maness. Burlington Alamance Regional Airport. Dan Danieli has seen decades of growth before his eyes at Burlington Alamance Regional Airport. Becoming airport manager in 1988, Danieli worked at an airport that had a runway 3,700 feet long and roughly 15 to 20 people working on its campus. Today, the runway is 6,405 feet long and 250 people come to work at the airport every day, he says. The whole infrastructure is different now, Danieli says, and we're getting serious about cranking it up. The airport is currently in the works to build a new 56,000 square foot facility with hangar space, a conference room, and offices for LabCorp, a healthcare company headquartered in Burlington and one of the largest employers in Alamance County. Additionally, the airport is doubling the size of its apron or parking area and rehabilitating its existing runway, Danieli says. Being located between the Triangle and Triad regions, Burlington-Alamance Regional Airport attracts a lot of business from companies looking to do business in either area, per Danieli. With a distribution facility in Burlington, Sheets keeps a few vehicles at the airport. SkySouth Aviation is active at the airport as well, flying private jets out of the airport around the eastern United States. And Carolina Air Care, a critical care and emergency services group tied to the University of North Carolina, has a base out of the airport. Perhaps biggest of all, the Burlington-Alamance Regional Airport helped play a role in attracting the country's largest private employer to the area, Walmart. Danieli says that in 2012, while the airport was closed due to a runway extension project, he received a call from a local leader saying they had a big client for a massive proposed project, wanting to come to town. They wanted to come in on a Thursday, Danieli says, but the airport wasn't set to reopen until a Sunday. So Danieli expedited the project and had the runway ready for Walmart a few days early. And the following year, Walmart announced it would be building a $100 million distribution center in nearby city of Mebane and employ 450 people. Being able to get them into our airport at that time rather than bus them in from RDU, I can't help but think that played at least a small role in helping land the company, Danieli says. As far as continuing to attract new businesses and expand operations, Danieli thinks the future is bright. I just think we're going to continue to be in a growth mode, and I don't see it ending, he says. It feels perpetual. And finally, Triangle North Executive Airport. Tens of millions of dollars are pouring into Triangle North Executive Airport in Franklin County for new infrastructure projects to keep up with growing demand. A few months back, the airport received a state grant to embark upon a $26 million project to extend its existing runway and realign its road to add more hangars for planes. Currently, the airport has 59 hangars, up from the 37 hangars it had 10 years ago, according to data provided by Franklin County spokesman James Hicks. Bo Carson, executive director for the airport, says he hopes the road realignment can open the pathway for more future development here for more hangars for single-engine aircrafts, as well as bigger hangars for larger airplanes with jet turbo engines. Meanwhile, the runway extension will help us continue our movement towards operations needed to continue to go after grant funds in the future to incorporate a better better avenue for larger corporate jets that want to visit Franklin County and the Research Triangle region for business or leisure. Though not as often discussed as Johnston County, Franklin County has exploded in population in recent years. Between 2020 to 2022, its population grew by 8.7%, the same amount as Johnston County in that time span, from 68,578 to 74,539, according to estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau. For context, between 2010 and 2020, Franklin County's population grew by a little under 8,000 people, or only slightly more than the growth the county has seen in the past 2 years. Thus, the airport has been continually working on improvements to accommodate such growth. Prior to the $26 million grant, Triangle North Executive Airport received an $11.9 million grant for pavement rehabilitation in 2021. That same year, Captive Air Systems, a leading manufacturer of commercial kitchen vent hoods, announced it would be building a nearly 17,000 square foot hangar to house an aircraft and fly it out to construction sites around across the country. Like other airports, Franklin County leaders say Triangle North Executive Airport is a gateway to the county. We're a growing region, and the airport is a big part of that, Assistant Franklin County Manager Ryan Preble says. It's a huge economic driver. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by Managing Editor Dane Huffman. From sandbars to sizzle. Only a few decades ago, the Outer Banks were mostly sandbars, local entrepreneur Clark Twitty recalls, but that all started to change around 1986. Twitty says in a new book that tracks the rise of the region, "People have more money, taxes are down, Northern Virginia is booming, and that's a big part of the market," says Twitty, whose father Doug started Twitty & Company. "So you get these entrepreneurs who are willing to take risks, and then you get folks like Mark Basnight, and they shared a vision." Two successful developments from that area, the Village at Nag's Head and the Corolla Light Resort Village, paved the way for more development. Twitty says developer Dick Brindley paid $3 million for land that stretched from the beach to the Sound to build the Corolla project. People thought he was crazy, Twitty says. That was soon followed by the rise of Manteo, native Basnight, who led the North Carolina Senate from 1993 to 2011. Basnight was a passionate champion of the region, and state dollars flow to the area in the form of roads and bridges. All this growth has led to a steady rise in Currituck County occupancy taxes, which began in 1989. That year, the taxes netted nearly $68,000 in the month of July. This July, that number was $3.6 million. But the growth has raised troubling questions, which led Twitty to write, "Outer Banks Visionaries, Building North Carolina's Oceanfront." For example, the Outer Banks is struggling to find workers, as many can't afford to live on the main islands and find commuting from the mainland less appealing. The question now, Tweedy says, becomes, oh my gosh, is this what we wanted, and where do we go from here? To Tweedy, the market needs to keep investing in infrastructure, schools, and healthcare, and he wrote the book in the hopes that the community will thoughtfully address its future while avoiding partisan rancor. Novo Nordisk adds to Johnston County operations again. Johnston County's long connection to Novo Nordisk is continuing to pay dividends. The Danish pharmaceutical company opened an insulin manufacturing facility in Clayton in 1996 and has added to it over the years, including a major expansion announced in 2010. Now, Novo Nordisk has acquired 3.76 acres in Clayton for $350,000, according to Johnston County deed records dated September 6. The acquisition comes as Novo Nordisk continues to expand its land holdings. In May, Novo submitted a proposal to rezone more than 100 acres near its Clayton facilities to prepare for an expansion. The company previously bought 59.11 acres near its facilities for $4.5 million. Vontier shows off autonomous store, and that's spelled V-O-N-T-I-E-R. A Raleigh company is looking to shake up the convenience store scene as businesses face labor shortages and shifts in consumer trends. Vontier Corporation is testing an autonomous store in Greensboro in partnership with its subsidiary there, Gilbarco Veeder-Root, maker of fueling and payment systems used around the world. The store, called Nomad, is 264 square feet, about the size of a big city bodega or rural roadside stand, but still offers hundreds of items, including hot coffee and drinks that shoppers would typically find at their local convenience store. Customers unlock the entrance door by touching or swiping a debit or credit card, either directly or by using the mobile pay feature on their smartphone or watch. Once inside, the customer can choose merchandise and simply walk out when done. Sensors detect who is picking up what items. Restricted items like alcohol or tobacco are released only when the purchaser's age is detected and confirmed. PitchBook ranks universities. New university rankings from PitchBook give a fascinating glimpse at where the local colleges rank as far as the number of graduates who have raised venture capital in the last decade. PitchBook rates schools based on the total number of founders whose companies receive a round of venture funding between January 1, 2013 and September 1. In a list that includes universities around the globe, Duke University rated high for both undergraduate, number 19, and MBA, number 14. UNC Chapel Hill also did well, ranking number 49 for undergraduates and number 37 for MBA graduates. NC State University came in at number 96 for undergraduates. That's a pretty solid effort considering the list included Ivy League schools, future ACC school Stanford University, and global heavyweights such as Oxford and Cambridge. Triangle rental occupancy drops. Multifamily rental occupancy in the Triangle dropped almost 4% from August 2022 to August 2023, according to a report by Apartment Data. Bruce McClenny, senior director for Apartment Data, attributes part of this drop in people moving out of Class B, C, and D properties to the increase in single-family rentals. The current occupancy rate of multifamily rentals is 90.2%. The dynamics behind this movement toward lower occupancy are driven by a steady and strong delivery of new construction units with an absorption response insufficient to cover the level of new units, McClenny says in the report. As the year finishes, this number could change as the area's 9,788 units currently under construction get completed and open up for new renters. The occupancy rate has been on a steady decline since 2021, according to the report. And finally, pharma company takes step forward. A Raleigh pharma company is moving closer to entering a multi-billion dollar market. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration in September accepted a new drug application from Verona Pharma for its inhaled maintenance treatment of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. The FDA is scheduled to make a decision on the application by June 26, and approval of the drug, called and Sifentrine would give the company a path into a significant market, with maintenance COPD treatments in the U.S. generating about $10 billion in sales. Verona last year raised $150 million through an equity offering and landed a $150 million debt financing deal. Verona, with headquarters in the Triangle and United Kingdom, is subleasing about 32,000 square feet of space on Six Forks Road in Raleigh. And now we turn to the top news stories in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one we have written by Kaylee Thompson. Glenwood South plans reveal new building with condos. A Raleigh business owner is seeking taller building heights for a small corner near the city's downtown nightlife district, which continues to be transformed by new developments. Ashley Linton, owner of Bird Cannon Holdings LLC, is applying for up to 12 stories for three lots on the corner of North Boylan Avenue and West Lane Street in Glenwood South. The property is currently zoned office mixed use up to three stories with a neighborhood conservation overlay district. The rezoning would maintain the office mixed use but increase the height and remove the overlay district. The application indicates the rezoning would allow for a mixed-use building with residences and office and retail space, along with structured parking. There would also be urban open space next to the ground-level retail. The proposed mixed-use building would have ground-level retail and office space on the second floor. There would be 9 to 12 condominium-style residences above the retail and office space, according to notes from a neighborhood meeting regarding the rezoning proposal. The parking would be below the residences and screened. Linton declines to comment on the plans. The three lots at 301 and 303 North Boylan Avenue and 710 West Lane Street total 0.39 acres. Linton's LLC owns all of the properties, which have a total assessed value of approximately $1.9 million. A salon, fitness studio, and Linton's retaining wall businesses, vertical walls, are currently on the three lots. The areas in and around Glenwood South have seen immense change in recent years, with more projects still in the pipeline. The two-tower creamery project on Glenwood Avenue is back on track after delays, and Blue Ridge Realty is looking to rezone properties for up to 20 stories. Blue Ridge is also behind a 12-story mixed-use project in Glenwood South. North of the properties on Lane Street, several lots between St. Mary Street and Boylan Avenue, including the property that holds My Way Tavern, were rezoned earlier this year to allow for development up to 10 stories. There are currently single and two-story commercial buildings on the properties. RDU to launch flights to Germany. This article is written by David Pertell. Raleigh-Durham International Airport has secured a new nonstop flight to Europe. The airport on September 12 announced a new partnership with airline Lufthansa to begin nonstop flights between RDU and Frankfurt in western Germany. Travelers will be able to connect the flights to other European destinations as well as to India, the Middle East, and elsewhere around the world. The service will debut on June 6, 2024, with five nonstop flights weekly to and from Frankfurt. The flights will run year-round, officials said. The Frankfurt flight will join two other nonstop flights, Paris and London, that currently operate between RDU and the European continent. The addition of another nonstop flight to a European destination is a major boost to the Triangle's growing status on the global business stage. RDU also has a flight to Iceland that offers connecting service to Europe. Other international destinations served at RDU are Cancun, Mexico, Freeport in the Bahamas, and Montreal and Toronto in Canada. Lufthansa will become RDU's 16th airline. The Frankfurt route will use an Airbus A330-300, which can carry between 250 and 440 passengers. And our next article is written by Lauren Onasorge. Deposits remain flat for community banks. Costs are rising for the banks, raising concerns about higher loan rates. 6 months after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, numbers show the ongoing rally by community banks is keeping dollars in coffers in North Carolina, but it comes at a cost. Recent data on community bank deposits shows that in North Carolina, median deposit coffers were flat quarter to quarter. But a look into the nuances of those numbers shows a costly trend continues. While for the most part, deposits themselves are flat, they're costing banks more. And that could contribute to higher loan rates as banks work to make up the difference on their balance sheets. An analysis of community bank data by Triangle Business Journal shows deposit costs continue to rise across North Carolina institutions, and analysts say they expect the trend to continue. In the next 12 to 18 months, if the Fed does not cut rates, almost every bank in the country will see their cost of deposits rise between 100% and 150%, maybe more, says Brian Libfried, Managing Director of Client Insights and Analytics at Performance Trust. If the Fed goes higher, it will be worse. Part of the issue is competition, whether it's the largest community bank in the state, First Bank at $12 billion in assets, or a much smaller institution like Johnston County's KS Bank at $587 million in assets. Banks are paying more for each deposit dollar in order to keep customers, the numbers show. Everybody's competing for funding advantage, Libfried explains, pointing to the difference between a bank's cost of funds and the federal funds target rate. In 2007, the median funding advantage was under 200 basis points. Today, it's nearly double that, meaning more competition, Libfried says. Of the top 20 community banks in the state, all but five saw their non-interest-bearing deposits, transactional products such as payroll accounts and checking, shrink, according to an analysis of numbers compiled by Raymond James. Instead of those accounts, the least expensive deposit offerings for banks, customers were shifting money into vehicles that could get them better returns, such as money markets and CDs. In the process, the cost of deposits for the banks themselves rose, and at some institutions in the area, they skyrocketed. Eight of the 20 banks saw their deposit costs rise by more than 40%. Jumbo CDs, CDs worth at least $250,000, increased in all but one of those banks. Money market deposits increased at all 20 of those institutions. When compared to the previous quarter, all 20 banks saw increases in their overall deposit costs in the second quarter of this year. Looking statewide at 40 banks analyzed by Raymond James, the cost of deposits rose a median of 42.6% quarter to quarter, and it's clear to see why, as money markets rose by a median of 179% across all community banks in the state. And now we turn to the reporter pages, starting with On Tech and Aviation, written by Lauren Onasorge. California firm buys RTP drone developer. Blue Force recently opened new Wake Forest facility. Drone developer Blue Force Technologies has been acquired by Anduril Industries, that's spelled A-N-D-U-R-I-L, a California startup founded by Palmer Luckey, the entrepreneur known for founding Oculus VR. Financial terms were not disclosed. Blue Force Technologies, an aerospace company based in Research Triangle Park that recently expanded to Wake Forest, is working on a federally funded drone development project it calls the Fury. The Fury is at the center of the deal, says Christian Bros, chief strategy officer at Anduril, which specializes in autonomous systems for defense applications. Blue Force aims to develop drones that can simulate fifth-generation fighter planes at a fraction of the price to be used to train fighter pilots. The stakes are huge for its success. Blue Force has been awarded more than $55 million worth of Air Force contracts to design, build, and test four of its aircraft. Anduril is a six-year-old defense technology firm focused on autonomous military systems, and the Fury represents opportunities to expand business with the Department of Defense. In addition to developing its own technologies, Anduril has been making acquisitions to support that mission. Earlier this year, for example, it acquired Adranos, an Indiana manufacturer of solid rocket motors. Obviously, now with Blue Force, we have the ability to move into higher-order combat systems, Bros says. Bros predicts pouring more capital into the company, creating more jobs in North Carolina in the process. We have been investing our own money to go after these opportunities, and I think Blue Force is going to be a very important part of that team now, he says. That team is going to have to grow to support the opportunities we see, and if we're successful, the sky is the limit after that. While the Fury brand will remain, for the sake of just really enforcing one team, one dream, Blue Force will take on the Anduril name, Bros says. Blue Force said last year it would invest $3 million and create 125 jobs in Wake Forest. Bros says Anduril is committed both to RTP and the growing operation in Wake Forest. Leaders say runway project vital to market. Raleigh-Durham International Airport's long-planned $500 million runway is one step closer to becoming a reality. The Federal Aviation Administration issued its official authorization for the project at the end of August, giving the airport permission to move forward building a new runway. Area business leaders say the stakes for the project are huge. Joe Malazzo, who leads the Regional Transportation Alliance, says that to have a vibrant business community, you have to have a functioning, successful primary runway. This hopefully puts us on the glide path to runway success, which is ultimately regional success, Malazzo says. Brooks Rayford, CEO of the North Carolina Technology Association, says the airport is critical in supporting his industry, making a new runway invaluable. And finally, RTP concerned by lack of mail service. Businesses and Research Triangle Park have a message for the U.S. Postal Service: deliver our mail. They've written to U.S. Postmaster Louis DeJoy saying they're fed up and want carrier delivery service, something they say is vital for RTP's growth. Businesses and residents in RDP do not receive carrier delivery service, something that's caused a strain on companies operating in the park for years. It was bearable when RTP served only corporate customers, and the leadership, the manager of the post office in RTP, understood that companies did need to have a street mailing address, says Scott Levitan, CEO of the Research Triangle Foundation. And now we turn to Ben Tobin's page on Greater Triangle Growth. Developer grabs mall despite vacancies. Cleveland Commons, a 25-year-old strip mall, sells for $1.8 million. An aging strip mall in a high-traffic area of Johnston County has a new owner, an LLC tied to commercial real estate developer Woodhaven Development Group, which has offices in Raleigh and Charlotte, purchased the 1.8-acre Cleveland Commons strip mall at 5560-5596 Highway 42 West for $1.85 million on September 5, according to Johnston County deed records. The land is in a prime location near Interstate 40 in addition to NC Highway 42. The mall currently has numerous vacancies, as several tenants have closed in recent years. For example, Dairy Queen closed its doors in the strip mall in December 2022 after being in business for 24 years. It was one of the original tenants in the shopping center, which opened in 1998. Zach Kosofsky, a partner with Woodhaven Development Group, declined to comment on the developer's plans for the property. The previous owners, Cleveland Village LLC of Garner, purchased the property in 1999 for more than $2.25 million, according to deed records, meaning they bought the strip mall for around $400,000 more 24 years ago than they sold it this month. The Cleveland Commons Strip Mall isn't the only property in Johnston County that has changed hands recently. An LLC tied to Canadian real estate development company Great Gulf purchased more than 272 acres of land in Johnston County for around $14 million on August 31, according to county records. The plot of land is near the small town of Wilson's Mills between Strickland Road and U.S. Highway 70 business. Great Gulf is the third owner of that land, which has been marked for 850 homes as part of a larger subdivision in the last 2 years. New subdivision planned for Carthage, a small town in Moore County, is attracting a housing development with dozens of single-family homes. Kirby Construction Group of Southern Pines is planning 78 single-family lots across 32 acres in Carthage, according to documents from the Carthage Planning Board. The land sits south of Rockingham Road, minutes from downtown Carthage. The development is called McNeil Ridge, per the planning documents. SKC Properties, an LLC tied to Kirby Construction Group, bought the property in December 2012 for $365,000, according to Moore County deed records. Representatives of Kirby Construction Group did not respond to requests for comment. According to a preliminary plat submitted to the town, lot sizes in McNeil Ridge will range from 10,000 square feet to more than 23,000 square feet. And finally, new retail space proposed in Sanford. More commercial and retail space may soon be on its way to Sanford. Floyd Development of Cary is proposing a commercial flex space for service retail or office uses on a vacant 5-acre plot off Lemon Spring Road in the Lee County City. According to a recent meeting agenda for the Sanford Lee County Planning Department's Technical Review Committee, the agenda item is labeled Shops at Lemon Springs. Andrew Ross, a representative of Floyd Development listed on the agenda, did not respond to a request seeking comment. The address of the property is 0 Lemon Springs Road, which is owned by Helen Davis and Carlos Mosley, according to Lee County records. And now we turn to On Healthcare and Higher Ed, written by Zach Ezone. Novon looks to sell off remaining assets. After high hopes fade, company moves through bankruptcy. Novon has agreements in place to sell its assets as the Durham drug maker's bankruptcy moves forward. During an auction held August 31, Novon reached deals with two other companies to sell off commercial products and assets related to its research and development efforts. The court on September 11 approved the sales. Novon reached an agreement with Mayne Pharma, an Australian company, for assets related to Rofaid, a commercial product that Novon added through its acquisition last year of EPI Health. According to a filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, Mayne Pharma will pay $8 million in cash, plus associated cure costs of up to $1.5 million for the assets. Meanwhile, Ligand Pharmaceuticals will pay $12.15 million in cash for Novon's research and development business and assets related to Cidavig, another commercial product owned by EPI Health. In connection to its bankruptcy filing in July, Novon entered into a stalking horse asset purchase agreement with Ligand, which agreed to buy substantially all of the company's assets for $15 million in cash. This stalking horse offer essentially set the minimum bar for a bid at the recent auction. Other assets and liabilities that are excluded from the purchase agreements will remain with Novon and EPI Health, according to a filing with the SEC. The filing states that under these proposed deals, Novon stockholders will not receive any payment or other distribution. Novon's deal with Ligand includes the company's lead program under development, SB206, a topical gel for the viral skin infection Molluscum contagiosum. Novon in January filed a new drug application with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration seeking approval of the product. The regulatory agency is scheduled to make a decision on SB206 by early January. Novon couldn't raise enough capital to continue supporting its operations through the FDA review process. The company had about $12.5 million in cash at the end of March, and in June, Novon reduced its workforce by about half, laying off nearly 40 employees in an effort to preserve cash. RTP firm follows up on $150 million raise, buys California company. Crya Therapeutics has expanded its gene therapy portfolio with an acquisition. Crya, with headquarters in the Research Triangle Park and California, on September 6 acquired Tramontane Therapeutics, which develops therapies for metabolic and neurodegenerative diseases. Financial details were not disclosed. The deal follows Crya closing a $150 million raise earlier this year. It is developing gene therapies that focus on the areas of ophthalmology, neurology, and metabolic disease. Crya also has invested in its infrastructure and platforms, including a 51,000-square-foot manufacturing facility in RTP. In the most recent deal, Crya acquired a portfolio of assets, including a gene therapy candidate treating non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, a disease that can cause fibrosis or scarring of the liver. And finally, RTP startup eyes cash for clinical trials. A drug developer with Duke University ties is raising capital for its pipeline targeting depression and suicidal ideation. Evexia Therapeutics, that's spelled E-V-E-C-X-I-A, recently raised about $2.4 million through a convertible note. CEO Jacob Jacobson says this is the first close on the convertible note and that it will reach about $6 million by the end of this year. Evexia is aiming for a bigger raise next year, between $25 million to more than $50 million, to support moving its two clinical programs into Phase 2 studies. Evexia, launched by Duke professors in 2015, hopes to launch its first commercial product in 2027 or 2028. And now we turn to Laura Bromet's page on retail and restaurants. New tavern opens on Hillsborough Street. Stonewalls replaces the Green Monkey, which is at a new site. Stonewalls Tavern, a new concept from a veteran nightlife ownership group, is now open at 1217 Hillsborough Street. The ground floor space near Morgan Street was formerly home to the Green Monkey, a bar and gift shop that moved to 215 South Wilmington Street. Stonewalls Tavern serves cocktails, beer, and wine. The space measures around 2,000 square feet has been remodeled to create a casual neighborhood bar feel, part owner James Sipple says. Stonewalls has table seating, bar seating, and couch seating in a lounge area. The bar also has a small outdoor seating area under the front canopy. The bar will not have a kitchen or food offerings, Sipple says. The bar's ownership group operates under the name Tangiers LLC, an entity registered to Sipple and Philip Siegman, according to North Carolina Secretary of State records. The group has opened and operated several bars and nightclubs in the past, Sipple says. All of the locations were eventually sold. We've had bars in South Carolina, Texas, Mississippi, he says. We've done a lot, so I was like, why not? Let's do it again. The group previously operated one location in Raleigh, a spot called Above and Beyond Ultra Nightclub. The club was located at 2526 Hillsborough Street on the third floor of the Electric Company Mall building. Above and Beyond was sold and rebranded as 440 Nightclub, a Latin dance club that still operates in the space. Stonewalls will host events including trivia, karaoke, and music bingo, and features TVs and a pool table. The bar will employ 3 to 4 people. The building dates to 1935 according to Wake County property records and features apartment units above the retail spaces. Raleigh developer CityPlat purchased the 3-story building for $2.6 million in 2021 with plans to renovate the structure. Another Residence Inn planned for Cary. Plans have been filed to build a 5-story hotel on the parking lot of the McGregor Village Shopping Center near the Highway 64 interchange. Located at 103 Edinburgh South Drive, the proposed hotel is the third project under the Residence Inn by Marriott brand planned for Cary. The new building would feature 122 guest rooms. The site is located where 2 single-story outparcel buildings have been demolished in the northeast corner of the parking lot. The hotel would be constructed on a 1.87-acre lot, according to site plans. The hotel's first floor would feature a meeting room, a lounge, a dining area, a bar, a market, a fitness room, and an indoor pool. Plans for an outdoor patio show a fire pit, built-in grill, and seating. The Residence Inn by Marriott at McGregor Village is being developed by RevPar Companies, a Durham hospitality group. And finally, Rita's Italian Ice to make Cary comeback. A shuttered Subway will soon be home to the area's only Rita's Italian Ice store. The franchise brand has a strong following in its home state of Pennsylvania and previously operated shops in Cary and Raleigh. The new store will be located at 921 North Harrison Avenue in the Northwoods Shopping Center, according to permits filed with the town of Cary. The brand's website lists a Cary store as coming soon. Rita's Italian Ice is known for its various flavors of Italian ice or water ice and frozen custard. The Cary store measures 1,025 square feet. The total construction cost is listed at $190,000. Rita's previously had a location at 8204 Tryon Woods Drive that is now closed. It also had a location in Raleigh at 1028 Oberlin Road. And our last reporter page is Kaylee Thompson's on real estate. 2 projects get city council approval. Durham developer gets nod for Raleigh Apartments project. More housing is in the works for downtown Raleigh in the southeast area of the city after the city council approved zoning changes for 2 large projects, including one that calls for more than 1,800 homes. At Southwest and Harrington Streets, plans for a 12-story apartment building are moving forward after a developer, Elmwood Development of Durham, had 2 lots approved for a mixed-use project up to 12 stories. Elmwood previously had 3 lots approved for up to 12 stories, but needed the other 2 for its planned apartment building. The Raleigh City Council voted unanimously to approve a rezoning for 0.45 acres to allow for up to 12 stories with conditions. The previous zoning was downtown mixed use up to 5 stories. The new zoning approved September 5 allows for 123 residential units, 17,389 square feet of retail space, and 41,847 square feet of office space. But Elmwood has filed site plans for a 12-story building with 298 units and 8,000 square feet of retail space, along with a parking deck. Conditions with the rezoning include limiting the hours and size of any potential restaurant that is part of the development. In another decision, and despite facing opposition that included a petition with more than 700 signatures, the City Council approved a rezoning for 522 acres on Hodge Road to allow for a planned development by Mungo Homes. The City Council voted 6-2 in favor, with Council members Christina Jones and Mary Black opposed, The previous zoning was residential 30. The new zoning allows for up to 1,850 residential units. Site plans filed by Mungo Homes indicate there will be townhomes, cottages, single-family homes, and multifamily units. The development plans also call for widening Hodge Road. The opposition to the project boiled down to the fact that the rezoning and development plan were inconsistent with the city's future land use plan, comprehensive plan, and the Southeast Area Study. In addition, residents said the project's proposed public access and recreational space is inadequate, considering the amount of land involved. Five Raleigh buildings could become apartments. Columbia University and New York University researchers have identified five office buildings in Raleigh that are prime candidates for conversion to apartments. The conversation in real estate has turned to figuring out how some office buildings could be turned into apartments, but it's expensive and many troubled assets aren't well suited to switch. In a paper for the National Bureau of Economic Research titled "Converting Brown Offices to Green Apartments," Stijn van Nieuwenberg, Arpit Gupta, and Candy Martinez evaluate office to multifamily conversions across the country. Two buildings marked as potential conversions in Raleigh are the Carolina Trust Building at 230 Fayetteville Street and the Capital Bank Plaza Building at 333 Fayetteville Street. The likelihood of the Crabtree Center Building at 4600 Marriott Drive being converted is low, as Grub Ventures acquired it in 2020 and embarked on renovations. Plus, it has an occupancy rate of 94%. The other two are the Capital Club Building at 16 West Martin Street and an office building at 3109 Poplar Wood Court off Highwoods Boulevard. And finally, Florida developer eyes East Durham. A variety of homes with different price points could be coming to East Durham as a developer considers its options for the land. Mill Creek Residential of Florida has filed a zoning map change with the city for about 90 acres on Olive Branch Road, south of Highway 98. The proposed zoning is planned development residential, which would allow up to 3 units per acre with a mix of townhomes and duplexes. The current zoning is rural residential. The new zoning would limit the development to 280 homes with a minimum of 20% of each home type provided. The property is in a mixed residential neighborhood, draft place type. And now we turn to the Viewpoint page to read the editor's notebook, written by Sugata Mukherjee, editor-in-chief of the Triangle Business Journal. The headline, "The Need to Create a Department of AI." When I finished reading our deep dive on the effect of artificial intelligence and the role it will play in healthcare, I wondered if all of this is a good thing. That reminded me of the survey conducted recently by McKinsey talking about how this was the breakout year for generative artificial intelligence tools. So, who is in charge of keeping up with these developments and the potential gains and pitfalls of implementing them on consumers? Really, no one. Everyone is waiting on the federal government, but as the election year draws closer, it is doubtful anything of significance would happen before 2025. In AI years, that's an eternity. Here's a prediction. Thanks to the massive potential of AI, there's going to be a significant breach of private information affecting millions of people worldwide that may result in financial damages. And that's when local, state, and federal governments, along with the tech and industrial sectors, will show interest. That's because they will now know letting the explosion of AI in tools and infrastructure without any rules or guidance could eventually cost everyone. So why not have a Department of Artificial Intelligence at the state level and feed the federal government with information regarding the challenges and opportunities North Carolina faces as businesses, individuals, agencies, and educational institutions all learn the power of the service? Let's start with our 2-year and 4-year colleges and universities. I'm sure by now most colleges have figured out that there's value in offering courses tied to AI in different departments, but that simply is not going to be enough. Larger institutions may want to consider a school of AI that not only promotes the use of the technology, but creates a structure to address hallucinations, a term used when AI literally makes things up and spits it out in a way that it sounds real, and cheating among students. However, the primary purpose of the school could be to teach students, businesses, and government agencies how to learn the AI language, also known as the Large Language Model, or LLM. Right now, there are private companies bringing in engineers from across the globe to create a private LLM learning environment that one day could produce the next Monet of technology or the next Genghis Khan of destruction and mayhem. We need an agency. Yes, I know you are thinking more bureaucracy that can stack these developments in order to understand their uses. Right now, too many things are happening too fast without understanding its consequences. The power and acceptance of AI in our society is inevitable. Currently, companies and institutions are using AI in the fields of healthcare, cybersecurity, manufacturing, banking, agriculture, K-12 schools, fraud detection, and the environment, among many others. Inside Higher Ed reports that by using computing power to process and learn from data, AI is augmenting our ability to automate routine tasks, streamline processes, recognize and classify images, patterns in speech, and make predictions and decisions. And almost all of it is being done with minimal oversight. As reporter Zach E's own story on AI and healthcare points out, among the more than $4 trillion in healthcare spending annually in the U.S., almost a quarter goes into administrative expenses. Now, add AI to the efficiency quotient, and the return on investment balloons for the investor. The healthcare AI sector in the U.S. is expected to surge from $5 billion in investments in 2020 to over $45 billion by 2026. Those numbers are expected to turn to trillions in a few short years. Why are we waiting? The need for a Department of AI is now. And now we'll read some of the big number sections sprinkled throughout the Triangle Business Journal. The first big number, $900 million. That's how much a U.S. Space Force Space Systems Command contract could be worth, one that supports radars and sensors tracking thousands of objects in space. Kerry Sass Institute has teamed up with MAG Aerospace of Virginia to go after the opportunity and find ways to convert sensor data into real-time intelligence for space missions. 232, the number of new single-family homes Shenandoah Homes is plotting in Johnston County with two upcoming projects. $53.1 million. That's the amount of funding that NC Central University received through sponsored research during the 2022-23 academic year. And $300,000. That's how much wholesale coffee roaster Raleigh Coffee Company did in sales last year. But that figure could triple now that the company has acquired a local competitor. The 10-year-old brand purchased the roasting portion of Benelux Coffee's business and moved into a larger location. And we'll go ahead and stop there as we've run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. And if you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.